Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chemi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, How are you doing?
How is the Monday going? Good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment, followers of Eagle FM Namibia. And this is Business and Economic Segment. This is your platform. And yeah, it's where we discuss economic matters, issues of development, and everything that is affecting our bread and butter. We look at economic aspect. We look at governance and everything that is driving the economy. Looking at the world, looking at what is happening from international platform to, you know, domestic affairs. We touch what is Trump's decision, particularly on tariffs. What is the impact of imposition of tariffs to BRICS countries, to African countries? What is the impact of halting AGOA to the Namibian economy, to the SADC economy, and how can we navigate through? Those are some of the discussions that we have at this platform. And we always make sure that we are up to date with what is happening and also how can we improve the conversation, because we are always telling you to say the conversation must be improved, colleagues. The conversation must be elevated. It's not fine. It's not correct to just discuss about who is the most beautiful lady in town, who has the best car in town, who is spending more money at the sport bar, because those are the things that will put us down. But we need to understand what is the economy saying, where are the areas of improvement, where are the areas of investment, what are the new opportunities, how can we improve the lives of the Namibian citizen, how can we prioritize the young people of Namibia, what is NDP 6 saying, and also where is the money going? Where are the key priorities of national budget? What is happening in the Namibian economy? That is why we are always trying to make sure that, you know, when you get an opportunity, especially right now, when you open at Eagle FM Namibia, we are going to update you. We give you content and also context on what is happening within the domestic, economy of Namibia. Where is the world going? And today, like any other day, we are going to reflect on thought leadership on Namibia financial technology, to say, where is the future of Namibia finance? How is the improvement in terms of Namibia financial technology? And what do we mean when you speak about financial technology? And also, what are the statistics saying? What is very interesting is also that, looking at the situation that we are, we spoke quite a lot about Namibia economic inequality, and these things have been understood even by the institution of the state, private sector, and the banking also. However, there is an ongoing conversation on financial inclusion. However, in terms of financial inclusion, where everybody, especially the unbanked, get an opportunity to make sure that they are part of the mainstream financial system, because there is a document which was produced by Bank of Namibia in partnership with NAMFISA and also the Ministry of Finance that is called Namibia Financial Sector Transformation Strategy. And within this beautiful document, some of the key priority areas is the issue of financial accessibility, because as you are speaking now, majority of Namibians, especially those who are living in rural areas, are not really connected to the mainstream financial system, and they are not able to open accounts. And
great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
And they are not able to open accounts, and some of them rely on hard cash. However, when you read that strategy, it's saying that between 2025 and 2035, by 2035, around 95% of Namibians in general will have access to former financial, you know, institution, or will be connected to, you know, financial system, where also informal businesses, 70% of the informal SMEs will have an opportunity to have access to financial, you know, former financial institution. Now, let us park that here. There is now an aspect of new development when money started circulating. And we are also shocked because using cash, as we have always been indicated to say, if you take us back 30 years ago, the business people, the investors, travelers, you know, clients, people preferred cash those days because cash was regarded as king, because wherever you go, if you have cash, you can be able to solve your problems. However, in the world of changing, there is a new development of financial apps where you do not need to carry hard cash anymore. You just need an app that you can use to transact. You just need an app that you can use to buy, that you can use to pay for your bills, that you can use to invest, to loan somebody money, and also to get your money back. And that's why you see these things of e-banking, these things of e-financial transaction, and also what you see, apps that have been seen around, either e-wallet and many others. But the world have moved from there. There is an aspect of instant payment at the same time, at the same point, and also there is apps that are well known, such as M-Pesa in Kenya. That is an app that even when you are buying groceries at open market, people do not want your cash anymore. You just need to scan your card, scan your phone. If you have credit in your M-Pesa, you can be able to make transaction, and you can finish business there. However, it's very interesting also to see when you are looking at the statistics today, when the governor of Bank of Namibia gave a presentation, I was actually shocked, but not surprised. But I was able to see that in terms of how things are going in the future, it's not only about those who do not want to change, it's about those who are changing with time, and also those who can keep up with the change in national and global development. One of the statements which was stated by Johannes Kauhab, who is head of BON, chief of BON, it's called, the governor of Bank of Namibia, stated that the future of money and payment is digital. The future of money and payment is digital. That is why when you speak about financial technology, when you speak about business that are investing in financial tech, those are the business that are going to lead the future. Because currently, as we are speaking, those business are already competing with commercial banks. They are competing with commercial banks. It's a very competitive and cutthroat competition. But how is our understanding with technology as Namibians, and how can we venture into financial technology, and what are the startups doing in Namibia, and do we understand what is the meaning of financial technology? Because in terms of financial technology, do not just speak about financial technology when you speak about apps that you use to transfer, but it's beyond just having an app for transaction. We talk about investment, we talk about the aspect of doing business, and we also talk about the aspect of inter and intra-trade transaction. Now, What surprised me is that looking at the cash situation in Namibia, how the money is circulating in Namibia, you know, I understand some of you got new money. Cash transaction in Namibia, you get your $200, you pay for your taxi money, you pay for your bills, you do everything. The financial the circulation in Namibia in 2024, it was standing at $5.5 billion. That is what have been done, transacted. When you do your business, when you pay Meme who is buying up a condo in the street, when you buy your chips, sugar here and there, the money that was in circulation is $5.5 billion. That is hard cash. Now, interestingly, the money that was used digitally, digital finance, money that was used, not cash, is transactions. Via the phone, via the apps, buying. People are sitting at home, they are buying their car through their phone, and people are ordering things from one business person to you who ordering and all those things. That money, the digital money in 2024 was standing at 2.7 trillion. That is already telling you that when it's coming to hard cash, people are no more preferring hard cash. People prefer digital money. And now when we are speaking about business, when we are speaking about our education, let us look at that area. How is our understanding with financial technology? And what can we do to make sure that we venture into that area? And I'm sometimes also thinking that, when you speak about this high level English or fintech, financial technology, it seems like an isolated conversation actually, because when you see the different sectors of Namibia, when you see the different sectors of, the stratification of Namibian population, you can be able to see that it's only a certain people who understand and are conceptualizing, discussing, and are operating within this area. But there are still people in Namibia who are still struggling to be up to date with basic technology. They are still struggling to be up to date with basic technology. That's why, when one of the directors of research at Namibia Research, Namibia Institute of Research Commission, one of the directors stated that, it's a pity that Namibians are still behind, especially in terms of, basic digital literacy. They are still behind. And we must understand that even in terms of the education, they are still behind. What are we teaching our learners from grade 1 to grade 4? What do we do with, the period of ICT? Do we give it to a mathematics teacher? Because there's always, jokes being thrown around to say, mathematics teacher, whether come thunder, whether come storms, that person is always going to show up. Because those are most committed people, especially when it's coming to teaching. Even if you have physical education, class, and they say, no, give it to a mathematics teacher. They're having jokes about that, especially when you're at the primary and also high school. But the fact of the matter is that when it's coming to digital literacy, Namibia is still behind. And how can Namibian young people invest in technological businesses? Because unemployment will not and is not going to be solved just within or by a political statement. And we must come to terms with that. We must all be participants in these changes. Because if now we are busy dealing with our challenges here, then statistics are coming to say, no, it's only $5.5 billion in cash in 2024. In terms of digital money, it's $2.7 trillion that was used. Maybe you may also want to ask to say, which people, what percentage of the population are using this? What percentage of the population are using, and what percentage of the population are using hard cash? And remember, even if the high percentage of the population which are using hard cash are in the informal sector, when technological revolution come, no one is going to feel left out by that impact, not by the advantages, but by that impact. Is it going to find you prepared, or is not going to find, or it's going to find you still do not want to change? Now, I was also happy to meet one of the panelists at that discussion. That is a well-known business person. That is Dr. Lee Kahangala, and one of the known business people in Namibia. And he gave a very brilliant presentation where he indicated to say, when it comes to Namibian young people, the issue of unemployment must be addressed by creating wealth, by creating an economy which is accommodative, and also an economy which allow the Namibian people to practically participate and have ownership. Not only ownership in terms of shares, but ownership in mining, ownership in in fishing, ownership in banks. But I don't want to speak on his behalf, but I want you to listen to what he has to say, especially when you get to the conversation regarding financial technology, regarding the Namibian economy, regarding what is he seeing in the Namibian economic sector, what need to be done, and also ask questions regarding the areas of business operation, especially those young Namibians who want to venture into business, to say, what do you need to do as somebody who came a very long way? What are some of the key advice to give to somebody who want to venture into business, especially at the current situation? And I want you to take note. I want you to take note of this aspect, and also to get one or two things, because it's rare to find people who have worked through a certain journey. And that's why the purpose of this program is to educate one another, and also bring out those who have seen and walked the journey through. Not for you to imitate them, but to learn one or two things. Because currently, as we are speaking, I was having a discussion with one of the colleagues at that engagement. They say, no, Namibian economy is doing very well. And I say, it could be that way. I think it's doing well, but not so well. Yeah, because when you're looking at where we are standing, paying those more than 700 million of Eurobond by next week, and that 700 million is not in Namibian dollars. It's in US dollars, and we also have to, or the central bank also has to use some of the reserves to keep up with the money that we have used since 2015. And when you look at foreign reserve, they also have to go down, because your budget debt financing system is also indicating that you have to take from your reserve account, external reserves. How are you going to sustain your economy? That is a question also that you are going to ask, because are we still on an economic defensive mode? Or is that how business is being done? And if that is the way, looking at the current circumstances, looking at the current situation, it could be the only better and alternative way of us funding. But how are we going to stand up? How are we going to come out of this situation? Because those are some of the very critical questions that we need to ask ourselves, because the money coming in is understandable, but the money is leaving the country very fast. It's leaving the country very fast. But those are the debates that we need to elevate, and also to educate each other to say, okay, no, That is how business is being done. But that is how the central bank, for example, is protecting the Namibian economy. That can be your debate at that level, at your understanding. But we must all agree that we must find a sustainable way of solving the issue of relying on exporting raw materials. We must find a balance on how to make sure that what we teach our kids, what we teach our fellow Namibians, is quality and is impactful and is also seen on the ground. Because if we do not come to that point, we are still going to continue speaking, we are still going to continue debating, we are still going to continue argue until nothing is being done. Because everybody must understand that in the current economic situation that we are in, everybody should be a catalyst in national development, like what the president has said. She mentioned a very clear point to say everybody must be a catalyst in national development. But how? We can only do that when we know our role. As a journalist, as a researcher, as a teacher out there, as a taxi driver out there, everybody should know and they must know their role in national development. As a cleaner out there, we must also know our roles in national development. Because if we do not know, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out, because if you look at what IMF is saying and what the World Bank is saying, so you cannot tell people to not borrow from domestic banks to fund their national budget, and you are preferring them to go and get money external. When are these countries going to be independent? Because the issue of the financial architecture should change has been a debate for the past 4 years or so, especially on an international ground. To say, when you look at international financial architecture, the Bretton Woods institutions are not on the sides of the developing world. So, before we go further, let us listen to the businessman Rick Hangala to look at his perspective, and moving forward.
Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are looking at economic development, and we are also looking at issues which are affecting Namibian economy. Today, I was fortunate to meet Dr. Rick Hangala. He's one of the businessmen in Namibia, and also to share with us his view, particularly on the Namibian economy, and most importantly, on thought leadership, especially regarding financial technology that was hosted by Bank of Namibia. Dr. Rick, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment. How are you doing, sir?
Good evening. I'm doing well.
Yes, we are very happy to have you at our show this evening. Let us, before we go to what is happening today, particularly when it's coming to financial technology, I want your view as a business person in Namibia, as somebody who has been around for quite some time. When you are looking at Namibian economy, particularly youth and entrepreneurship, how are you viewing it? What are some of the challenges that you are spotting out, and where are the opportunities, if I have to say that?
Well, the Namibian economy is faced with a number of challenges that we know.
Yeah.
We have a very high unemployment,
yeah,
particularly youth unemployment, which is not very good.
Yeah.
The economy is not growing very well. It's predicted to be growing at 3.5%.
Yeah.
So therefore, we need to have initiative to create jobs.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm very encouraged by the initiatives of government.
Mm-hmm.
The government have some programs.
Yeah.
This program include construction.
Mm-hmm.
Construction of schools,
yeah,
of roads, mm-hmm, of clinics,
yeah,
of sports stadiums.
Yeah.
These will also be done throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this will bring opportunity, jobs,
mm-hmm,
although some of them temporarily,
yeah,
but money will circulate in the economy.
Yeah.
So I'm very hopeful,
yeah,
that this is a good incentive and injection in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is foreign direct investment,
yeah,
particularly in the oil and gas industry,
yeah,
which we are having a hope of.
Yeah.
But more importantly, mm-hmm, is efforts and initiative of the president, particularly in agriculture. Agriculture will be able to turn around some of the fortunes of our economy for good. That should include primary agriculture and as well as agro-processing, which so that we produce our own foods. So I also want and believe that we must empower our own people, give them access to finance so that they can create jobs for themselves.
Yes, especially when you spoke about foreign direct investment, I was attending a oil and gas summit, and one of the report was presented by the CEO of Namibia Investment and Promotion Board is that Namibia currently in Africa, we are number one in attracting foreign direct investment and the number two in the world, particularly in the area of renewable energy. But the question has always been, how can we make sure that money coming into Namibia can really benefit Namibian people? How can we do that?
The first thing is to have policies that ensure that Namibians participate in the mainstream, in the value chain of the oil and gas. There is a local content policy that's being developed. That local content policy speaks to the supply of goods and services, speak to the participation in ownership, and all around the auxiliary work around the oil in the industry. So we must make sure that we participate there. The Namibian young people must also make sure that they get the relevant information. Come closer to where the information is, so that they take advantage of that. So yes, but I think there are policies that are being said and driving for Namibia to participate in the economy.
Now I want because I was listening to your presentation, a very brilliant presentation. It also awakened me, especially when it's coming to analyzing of a National Youth Fund. What do you think, looking at the future, need to be done to make sure that the money available to the young people of Namibia utilized correctly? What do you think young people, those who are given money, should prioritize and look at, especially when it's coming to national development?
Well, they must use the money for the purpose it's given for. A clear business plan, clear management, but also issues of compliance, of reporting, of account management. Those are very important. And when those that are given succeed, it leads to the other. So there will be a lot of incentive to give more money. But I think also, those that are giving, they must not be shy to ask for help. So that you should not fail first and ask help. It would be nice to I'm sure there are very great Namibians there who are ready to help our youth.
Let us look at the content of today. You mentioned that financial technology is a mean to an end. How do you think Namibians, especially young people, I'm speaking about young people because when we look at the statistics, especially the general youth, the general unemployment, we are number one in SADC statistics, are saying we are leading in terms of unemployment in general, and also Namibia is a bit struggling to address that issue. Now, with the involvement of, with the evolving of financial technology, what is the best way, in your view, to address such challenges?
Well, the way I understand financial technology to youth, number one, is to help the youth to have access to money. Number two, to help them to manage that money effectively. Number three, to make sure that they get good returns on that money, that they use it properly. Number four, to make it that it is, they use it the friendly and fast through this technology. So all this combined will help our youth through fintech to take advantage of fintech to achieve what they want to achieve and through these opportunities.
Yeah. Maybe the second last question, you spoke strongly about ownership of Namibian resources. You spoke about if you want to create the economy, Namibians must own the mining, the fishing, and also the banks. How can we do that? And what is the best or the better way of making sure that Namibian they get access to those resources without also frightening, the foreign, ownership? If I have to say that,
there must be deliberate policy by government.
Okay.
That Namibians should own these, natural resources.
Yeah.
It must be policy driving with the mining, petroleum, because left it on its own, it will not come.
I see they are doing it in Botswana. They are negotiating already.
Absolutely. Yeah. We must do it. It is done in China, in Korea, in many other countries.
Yeah.
So there must be deliberate policy to ensure the participation of Namibians.
Yeah.
And then... then those Namibians that are participating, they must be helped.
Yeah.
Sometimes we set up things for failure.
Uh-huh.
If they have no money, they have no training,
They
have no access to certain services.
Yeah.
So it must be a deliberate effort that goes a long way.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Rick Angala, I just want, this one is to Namibia young people, because this program, Business and Economic Segment, is being listened by a lot of young people, especially those who are interested in business. I just want your advice to a Namibian young person who want to be a successful business person. I was impressed today when the MC was introducing you. She could not finish your profile, which means that you set a very great record. Just for those who want to be successful business people, especially young people, what are your best three advice to somebody who really want to enter business to help the people and also build the Namibian economy, especially the young people of our generation?
Number one,
we
cannot all be business people.
Yeah.
It must be a calling.
Yeah.
It must be a passion.
Yeah.
Those that have passion must stand up and say, I want to do business.
Okay.
The guy, the Apple, Steve Jobs, the great Apple, he stood up.
Yeah.
You know, Pupko stood up.
Yeah.
Francis Indongo stood up.
Yeah.
So must stand up.
Yeah.
There must be also good understandings of the dynamics in which the business is operating.
The
understanding of the money, the legal system.
Yeah.
So the youth must be literate in those things.
Yeah.
And they must also know where the support comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And then associate with a good team that helps you.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Last one?
Be focused.
Okay.
And be assured that you might fail.
Yeah.
But failing is part of the process. Never give up.
Yeah, maybe just the last one where you are. How do you stand up? Because there are challenges out there. How do you stand up from failure as a business person? How do you stand up after you are knocked down?
Well, I cannot prescribe that, but I'm just saying stand up and find a way to stand up.
Okay.
Yes.
Dr. Alik, thank you for joining us at Business and Economic Segment, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Sure.
We are moving forward. We are moving forward with Business and Economic Segment. So we indicated that was Rika Angala, one of the business people in Namibia, and it's always very important also to learn, especially from those who walked the talk. And it's indicated to say, just stand up, find a way to stand up when things did not go according to plan, and also be focused, and also have business knowledge and understanding. I want you to take this time and also ask yourself questions to say, man, what David is discussing about, what David is talking at Business and Economic Segment, do I understand any word? Do I understand what is financial technology? Do I understand that last year Namibians used 2.7 trillion as digital money to transfer, to send to their loved ones, to do business, to buy their cars, to buy their houses, to send their kids to school without using hard cash? What does that mean? how is the future of Namibia going to look like in the next 5 years? And what are these people speaking about? And what is the use of financial technology? Because when you come up with an application or a system of sending somebody money without an account, of investing in a business without any bank account, when you start going into a market, or that when the time comes and we go to Stop and Shop, we go to Oshakati Open Market, we go to Rudo Open Market, we go to Zambezi, Katima Open Market, we go to DRC Open Market, and we buy, or we go to Equatorial Tika, and we buy just by completing a digital transaction, then you'll be able to understand that hard cash is not going to be relevant anymore, because this is how things are changing. But the main question has always been to say, when technology came, when cell phone, first cell phones came, when computer came, it did not just come into the hands of everybody. It came into the hands of few people. But were Namibian people willing to know, willing to understand, you know, technology? Were they willing to understand technology? And to what extent do they understand technology to now? And how should they incorporate technology in doing business? I think it's also now a right time also to start asking this question, even at school, to say, can we go to our curriculum and also check to say, man, the world is changing so fast. The most invested startups, the startups which are bought by banks, even in Namibia, there was a certain entrepreneur who came up with an app that was bought by Standard Bank. Certain entrepreneur came up with an app of financial transaction, and you know how much money he was paid. Go and do your research. There's a certain student who was studying at the University of Namibia who, you know, came up with an application for international trade. Where is that person now? Go and ask and do research. Then you understand that the future of technology is here. The future of technology is here. But how should I make sure that I'm part of that transformation? Yeah, maybe some of the question that we may ask is that where should we start? It's not that I'm not saying you should go to university and start learning coding and start learning computer language and also start learning, digital finance. But you must make sure that you are part of the real conversations. Because remember, when technology comes with advantages, it also comes with disadvantages. Because if you do not understand it very well, technology itself can be able to manipulate you, can feed you with information that you do not understand, that will confuse you if you do not understand it very well. And it can also be used against you. You can also lose your money. You can also lose your digital money, because our discussion has always been to say, as long as we are speaking about a digital platform, as long as we are speaking about a digital environment, are we aware of our behaviors within a digital environment? Look at, for example, Facebook and X. You look at Instagram. And I want you to put this into your mind and see if, or it's not if, it what it is. When you are comparing your digital life, when you are on Facebook, when you are on X, is that your real life? Do you understand everything that is being spoken about there? Is what you are saying correct? Do you understand everything, every message that you are putting out there? Or are you putting yourself at risk? How many information of yourself are you revealing out there? Do you understand that when you have security at home, physical security is the same way you must have security at a digital environment? And we understand the danger of that, because you cannot say you are digitally literate or you are digitally advanced when you only know how to use Facebook, X, and Instagram, when you only know how to upload the picture. But you must also be aware of the threats, implications, challenges, and also opportunities within those digital environment. You know, this concept that are being brought by Bank of Namibia, by Namfisa, by startups, are very beautiful concepts. But the question is that where are we? Because there's something that I have raised to say, you know, a lot of beautiful things will come and go. But it's up to us Namibians to make sure that where do we want to jump in and where do we want, are we planning to move with everything that the world is throwing to us, or are we planning to prioritize dealing with our problems? Because if we come to that point, if we come to that point and we also listen to what has been spoken about, especially when it comes to where Namibia should focus on, then maybe we can come up to the point of saying, if we talk about, for example, financial technology, how can I use financial technology as a farmer? How can I process my transaction fast, efficiently? How can I do my saving in that space? How can I connect that? Because if we are speaking about, for example, value addition, mineral beneficiation, investment in fishing, investment in mining, and also investment in banks, how can the new technology assist us to get where we want to get in? Because remember, the discussion should and must always be, how can the new thing which is coming into our system going to assist us? Is it going to assist us to solve our problems, or is it going to bring to end more to our challenges? Because things came and go, investment came and go, our youth unemployment did not change, investment came and go, our energy sector, electricity continued to increase every day, every term. And remember that the electricity that we are complaining about paying, is subsidized electricity. It's electricity which was cornered and subsidized to make sure that we can be able to come to that level. The oil and gas that we are complaining about being expensive, we must know that that is not the price that we are supposed to pay. You were assisted by Energy Fund to come to that point. But the question has always been, and the question has always been to say, what are the new things we need to assist us? Because I've asked the questions to say, how can money coming into the country? And I remember I have a conversation with one of my guests at the EMS, and he indicated that we do not, although we need foreign direct investment, we do not need to rely on foreign direct investment. We need to rely on domestic investment. We must dictate what we do with foreign direct investment, not the other way around. Where is the power between a foreign direct investor and the host country? Where is power? And there's one very important thing that was mentioned, and I think that maybe we don't go there deeply, is the issue of policy and framework. We speak frankly, and we speak with authority and with really good intention, particularly when we speak about plans of our national development. However, especially in the newly emerging sector, we do not have clear framework, clear policies developed. Look at oil and gas. One must admit that we are all not expert in oil and gas because it was never done in Namibia, and we must learn from countries which have done it. But how can we learn from countries which have done it? We must learn from countries which have done it by understanding what mistake have they done in terms of policies, in terms of what oil have done to their environment, what oil have done to their governance system, what oil have done to their people, to the ordinary people. And the conversation to say young people must use this, financial technology to their advantage. Young people must invest in, must make sure that they make work easier. They must invest in oil and oil and gas. One must be able to be very clear and also understand that when you look around your town and you see our brothers and sisters from Angola, the one which are saying, give me $1, give me $1. The one which are setting the wood craft made, tools around. You must think that they came from the richest country in Southern Africa in terms of oil production. That is Angola. But what happened to the policies, to the management of the natural resources of that country? And what can we learn from there? Because the moment we start learning from our friends, our neighbors, what they have done right and what they have done wrong, then there is no way that as a young person, I'm going to be scared of the future. There's no way that I'm going to be scared of the future if I have a clear game plan. Because if we don't do that, if we don't move very fast, if we don't create policy before action, then that of who come to invest in us, that of who come to do business with us, who understand that when you are coming at our house, when you are coming in my house, I have already standing rules, and that is how we do business. I dictate how we do business respectfully by respecting the people and also investing in the people. And there's one thing which was mentioned, and there's something which I thought about to say, you know, when somebody has money, or when somebody is very successful, it's easy to speak out the truth without, looking at your back, because you know exactly what you are saying and because you are standing into those. Because what Dr. Rick Hangala has said panel discussion, he stated to say no. When you are putting Namibia GDP per capita on the scale in Namibian dollars, divide that to the population, you understand that how much money every person was supposed to get. Then he stated that it's not correct to create an economy which is only benefiting foreigners, which is actually true. And one of the things that he stated is to say, on that ground, it doesn't mean that we do not want foreigners, but Namibian people must own the economy. And we can only do that through policies. We can only do that through policies. Through making sure that you have strengthened a strong policy. Duma Boko of Botswana is standing face to face with De Beers and all the companies in Botswana to say, no, it's not right. We cannot be having 15% anymore in our own diamond. We want 50 and more. And they came, so no, Duma Boko, you do not have money. We own the money. Say, no, there are people who are willing to invest as long as we want to go there. That is where he's standing now. And there's no going back. Why can't you follow through? You come up with a policy which is positively disruptive, but beneficiary without discriminating that of who own those shares. Say, no, chief, it's my state resources. This is what I want. Yes, I understand you have shares, but we can pay you out. We want to own those shares because that is the resource of the people. Because there is absolutely no, correlation between the country's wealth and the wealth of the people. Because if it was the case, everyone would be. Not to say everybody will be super rich, but at least the basic needs. Because remember, countries are speaking about coming up with drones. Countries are speaking about going to the moon. People are speaking about Mars. People are speaking about hypersonic weapons. People are discussing high level of technology. People are speaking about smart trains. But what are we speaking about, Namibians? What are we speaking about? We are speaking about, the pharmacy is empty. There are no medicine. We are speaking about, no, there is no, aircon in state hospitals. We are speaking about there is not enough food. We are speaking about dealing with basic unemployment. When are we going to enter the table? Yeah, because that is a question that we need to ask ourselves to see. When are we going to enter the table of real conversation? The moment you answer that question, then we connect to say you can only enter the table if you have something to offer. And what is that thing that you have to offer? You have power. You have negotiation. You have a bargaining power. That is ownership of your natural resources. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic segment. We are speaking about financial technology. We are speaking about the issue of digital finance. In summary, what you need to understand is that the world is going through a transformation, and it has been going through a transformation. Must be able to understand that 2024 has indicated that it's only 5.5 billion cash transaction which has been made in Namibia. But in that same year, 2024, 2.7 trillion Namibian dollars has been used as digital, money, digital transaction, which means that it's those which are combining technology and finance that are going to do well in business. And it's also those that are going to, or is where more money is in. And I want you to go and do research on PESA in Kenya, and also do research about other financial transactions app. The Namibia transformation sector, or Namibia financial sector transformation strategy. Look at the beautiful objectives and goals which are there. And also compare to say, is this going to be achieved as it has been put on the paper? What are some of the challenges, and what can we do with what we can? And also how we can move away from addressing the basic needs and focus on the real issues. Because if you are still talking about where are we going to get water in the next 5 days, while people are speaking about going to the moon, while people are speaking about 100 years of planning of their country, while people are speaking about how they can better improving the quality of their food, yeah, it seems that we have a long way to go, but there's nothing which cannot be done as long as we are learning every day. As long as we are learning every day. But yeah, for me, David Shombe, thank you very much. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Umtuma team. That is Uncle Fly and Wakapate Katoka. And for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. And see you around tomorrow, same time, same place.